The Big D and G-Bone Show contains adult language and adult situations. Listener discretion is highly advised.
That's right. It's a celebration. We have some major news to tell everybody. We could not wait for the next podcast. We're recording on Friday, April 27th of 2012. Like I said, we could not wait on this news, so we're doing a very special edition of the Big D and G-Bone Show. I am Darren Gibson, the Big D, your co-host.
And Jim Gerner, G-Bone, your other host.
We have some very huge news to talk about. We just finished a meeting just mere minutes ago. An announcement's already been posted on Jim's Facebook page. I have yet to do it on mine. Starting in 2 weeks, we are going to be on WPRR Radio. 2 hours... once a week.
Yep, either Wednesday or Thursday. We don't know what day, but between 10 to noon.
Yep, we're going to be doing middays at WPRR. It'll be a recorded show. We're going to continue discussing most of the topics that we currently talk about here. We're going to do a little bit less of a local focus. This is going to be more more statewide, more national,
right,
more of national. Some of the stuff that we're... that's going to be of interest to areas outside of Grand Rapids, because WPR signal is going to be hitting some other towers.
Yep.
And not only that, they're also on the internet as well.
Yep. And Dave mentioned today that one of the towers is going to be in Indiana.
Yeah. That's Dave Fletcher, the program director, right, at WPRR. So we definitely want to thank Dave Fletcher for giving us this wonderful opportunity. We also want to thank Bob Goodrich, the owner of WPRR, for allowing us this opportunity as well.
You know, I think, speaking of Bob Goodrich, and we're just throwing those things around because this just happened, we should maybe try to get Bob Goodrich on.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
So to give you a little background, it's Friday. Thursday night about 7 o'clock, Dave Fletcher called me. I didn't recognize the number. I wouldn't let it go to voicemail. Called me about possibly getting together. I called him back, and he said, I know it's short notice, but can you guys come in at noon tomorrow? Meaning today, Friday. And we went in, had a nice about an hour meeting with him. And, so this came about. We're going to be recording it on May 8th. In the studio at WPRR, which is at 44th Street in Broadmoor area.
Yeah.
And it's going to air Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah.
So we're going to have at least one show we're going to do.
Yeah. It may be one, but it'll still be one. It's still something we can put on the resume.
Right.
Yeah. Hopefully this has been the culmination of some hard work on both of our parts.
I got to give the credit to Big D. He started it. It was his idea. He emailed Fletcher, and Fletch is what is his nickname. That's his email. Fletch.
I was just chasing a pipe dream. For those of you that haven't heard the podcast from the very first show, the very first show that I did, I kind of gave a little background about myself, so I guess it's fair that I need to do this again. I have a degree from Grand Valley State University, a Bachelor of Science in Journalism with an emphasis in broadcasting. My degree says I should be doing television news. My face and my body say, no, you've got the face for radio.
A face made for radio.
Face made for radio, as the late, great Rick Beckett said. I actually took some audio courses at Grand Valley. One of Grand Rapids broadcasting legends, George Arthur, was my instructor at Grand Valley. George Fine Baby Arthur, who was a big rock jock in the 60s and 70s at WLEV. He's now he now does Saturday mornings at Wood Radio at 1300 AM and 106.9 FM. If it wasn't for George Arthur, none of this would be happening. Actually, a lot of my instructors are very instrumental in this. Dave D'Alessio, who is now in Connecticut. Cynthia Kay, who used to be the one of the investigative reporters for Channel 13. And, of course, her former husband, the late, great Jim Rixey. And on an occasion or two, Henry Erb. Henry Erb was actually my inspiration to get into television news.
Henry Erb will crawl up somebody's behind as good as anybody.
Oh, very much so. I've never told Henry this. I'm a friend of Henry's. Henry and I worked together. For those of you that don't know, I did 2.5 years of Wood TV. And actually, that's somebody we ran into today. Bill Freeman. For those of you that remember Bill Freeman from the 80s and into the early 90s at Wood TV, the Freeman Files, basically did a lot of human interest stories back in the day, was actually on the air live at WPRR just before our interview.
Was there another guy in the room?
And there was another guy in the room, too.
Yeah, I don't...
And I don't remember his name.
I don't either.
But, Bill Freeman has a show on Fridays with WPRR. It was very nice to see Bill. I have not seen Bill in probably 20 years, at least 20 years. Bill and his wife, Kathy, both very, very nice, wonderful people. And it's great to see Bill doing a radio show. Bill, after he left Wood TV, was doing radio news, I believe, at WGBU for a while.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually.
Yeah.
But, big news. Needless to say, we're pretty excited right now.
We're beyond excited. I'm very thrilled. I'm ready to leap out of my skin.
And while we're talking, I've been texting Al Bassi.
Yeah?
I asked him. He said, I'll tell you what he said.
Yeah, go for it.
I said, our show was going to be on WPRR, and he said, thank you. I am honored. What time and topic?
Really? Yep. Okay. He can talk about whatever he wants to. As smart as he is, the sky's the limit. I don't care.
And I did not know until our meeting that Jim Rink had a show on there. Did you?
I did not know that either.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Jim, we're lining up guests. We're lining up. We've got our own little wish list of guests here. Alabassi, we've been trying to get on our show for a long time now. It's just the Al's schedule has been keeping him from appearing.
Right.
But he's been gung-ho about wanting to be on the show.
And I think it'll be easier now because finals were last week.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't know what his schedule's like going forward, you know, if he teaches other classes or whatever, but...
Uh-huh.
And he has... Doesn't Al have another job, too? He's not just an instructor. He has another...
It wouldn't surprise me.
Another thing he does, so... We were kicking around Al, Jim Rink, and you had a great phone interview, if we could get Virg Bonero on.
I would love to get Virg Bonero on the show.
I'd like to get Gretchen Whitmer on.
Gretchen Whitmer is...
She's a Democratic head of the Michigan Senate, based out of Lansing.
Ooh, that would be a nice... Yeah. That'd be a nice one,
actually,
too.
You should friend her on Facebook. She posts some good stuff.
Actually, it should be pretty easy to try and get Virg on the show. It's just trying to get his schedule freed up.
You know who show he's on all the time? Who? Big Eddie's.
Really?
Yep. He has Verge on fairly often.
Well, Verge is a great guy. I actually, when Verge was running for governor, I actually met Verge at the Wealthy Street Theater, and he seems like a really decent guy. Actually, one of his daughters is a friend of mine on Facebook, Kelly Bernero.
That's right. You were saying that one time.
And I believe she just got engaged. I want to say she's engaged to be married now, which is a shame for me because she's very, very attractive. Hell, an attractive Democrat in her mid-20s that has her shit together? Yeah. Yeah. So that kind of
you know,
but yeah, it'd be nice to get Verge on the show. He's another guy that's just beyond intelligent. It's just unreal.
Yeah. Speaking of politicians' daughters, do you know who is now a reporter for the Daily Show with Jon Stewart? Alexandra, I think her first name's Alexandra. Nancy Pelosi's daughter now works for The Daily Show.
Well, Jon Stewart? No, she
didn't. Yeah, she's a reporter for The Daily Show.
Really?
Yep. That's at least she did a topic on one a couple weeks ago.
Well, that'd be kind of cool. Oh, wow. Yep, I just got your post on... On Facebook. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, the first two people that I called once I got the news, I called my mom, and then I called my best friend and business partner. I had to let her know, and she's very thrilled about this.
Yeah, like I said, we got at least one show. Hopefully many more.
Hopefully many more, but we'll see how this first one comes off here. And like I said, we'll be recording in the studios, so at least we'll have a climate control. That's going to suck that we're not going to have the background noise of the birds chirping and such, or watching the little chipmunk that is burrowing underneath your yard there.
The way I understood it.
Excuse me.
What Dave said, you know, I'll show you guys how to run the board and all that. I understood that it's just going to be you and I. Nobody else is going to, he's not going to be watching it. Did you get that take?
That was the take that I got from
it. Yeah, and then obviously he's going to have to listen to it and make sure it's okay and stuff like that. But
yeah.
One thing he said, it's what you guys are doing now is not a radio show. What you're doing is a podcast, and that's fine.
Yep.
But... you were in the business. I guess I'm a little confused what the difference would be.
A lot of it's more timing and, you know, the dead air that we have.
Yeah, because you and I, the last several, we've basically not had anything written down. We've just gone off the cuff.
Oh, exactly.
You and I on the internet, and, oh, let's talk about this.
Yeah, yeah, let's talk about this. Oh, well, we found this, so let's discuss this real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have a little bit more structure.
Definitely going to have more structure, yeah.
And one of the things that we're going to have to do is build some breaks into the show.
Right.
Because, now, PRR is a nonprofit.
Yes.
And a lot of their expenses are paid for by donations to the station.
Right. And it should be pointed out that we're not getting paid to do this.
Exactly. This is just a huge opportunity that may lead to other stuff down the road. Who knows? You know, this could be a stepping stone to other things.
Could be. We're not getting ahead of ourselves, but
it also could be a stepping stone right into the deep end of the lake. You never know.
We could have one, two shows, and we don't want you guys back.
Yeah.
You know.
What? What? Gibson and Gurner? Those two? Pass.
And we're leaning towards, we've very preliminary talked about it. What are we leaning towards naming the show right now?
Yeah, another name change is coming, folks. Very sorry, but a name change is coming. This was actually a name that we were talking about renaming the podcast, mm-hmm. Southpaws. And that's the name that Jim came up with.
Yes, I did.
Since we both leaned to the left.
And Dave Fletcher seemed to like the sound of that name.
He really liked the sound of that name. He's like, are you guys both lefties, left-handed? I'm like, no. Neither one of us are, I don't believe.
No.
But it's just that we're left of the political spectrum, and that's a nice play on words.
Yeah, it is. I kind of like it. And those of who have listened to the podcast can understand that we are definitely to the left of center.
Yep. Yeah, we came up with a whole bunch of different names. On a Tangent was another name that we'd come up with.
We'll have to just look at that some more. But
yeah, so we're looking, but we're really seriously considering Southpaws
As of now.
Actually, this is... this was the conversation we had over text messages just last Friday, actually.
Was it?
Says, I said, do you think it's time to rename the podcast? And you said, what name are you thinking? I said, On a Tangent, I don't know. Or we could just call it the Big D and G-Bone Show. And you said, both would be good. I'll try to think of something, too. I was going to say politically incorrect, but Bill Maher has that. And then I replied with Truth Talk. That just popped in my head. And then you said, nice, how about Fair and Balanced, LOL. And then you said, the Southpaw Show, because we are on the left. And I said, at first I said about Fair and Balanced, I said, LMAO, no, LOL. Then I go, ooh, I kind of like that, or just Southpaws.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe the Southpaw Show.
Yeah.
Southpaws or the Southpaw Show? One of the two. I think that's where we're leaning at this point.
I can't wait to start this.
I can't either.
Especially if we have guests like Al and Jim Rink, and if we could get Virge Bonero on, or Gretchen Whitmer. How about Mike Huckleberry?
Or we Mike Huckleberry. Yeah. We can get Mike. We know Mike. Or we know people that are related to Mike that we went to high school with.
Yeah.
I know we've talked about trying to get Steve Pesca on the show.
That would be great.
Absolutely wonderful. The more publicity that we can get for him and his campaign, the better the chance we can get.
Absolutely.
Justin Amash out of office.
That's going to be an uphill climb, but yeah.
Somebody else that I would love to get on the show, and this is going to be the miracle if we can pull it off, Senator Debbie Stabenow, especially considering she's up for re-election this year.
Good point.
And you know who she's running against, right? You know who her Republican candidate is.
The guy who thinks he's got the nominee wrapped up and he doesn't? That idiot from Holland? Literally, the country of Holland.
Yeah. Yeah, the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Yep. Cannot ever run for president. Wasn't born here. Which, of course, you know, the Republicans say, oh, well, Obama wasn't born here. Bullshit.
Jennifer Granholm wasn't born here.
Yeah.
Schwarzenegger wasn't born here.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But, of course, it's okay. The Republicans wanted to change the Constitution so the Schwarzenegger could run. Hypocrites. Excuse me. I still have this cold for 3 weeks now, and it's settled in my chest, and it doesn't seem like it's going to go anywhere. That's not good. I gotta get rid of this cough before the radio show comes up. Because that's not going to be a fun thing to do.
So
we were going through a bunch of different topics that we were going to discuss, and there's one thing that Apparently, our new boss is one of his favorite things to discuss, and that's the separation of church and state. And that's something we've never really touched on.
No, we really haven't.
On the show. And it's surprising that we haven't, just because of our views on it. So I think that's something that we'll be talking about in 2 weeks when we record the new show.
We're going to have to get, email back for talk about, but we're definitely going to have more structure. We're going to do this, and it's going to, this topic, and it's going to last, 15 minutes or whatever.
Yeah. You know.
This topic.
You know what? You know who I should talk to?
No.
Just to, with this being a new venture for us, there's somebody that I really need to talk to that has experience with structuring a radio show. You already know where I'm going with this.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to be sending a Facebook message to Mr. Scott Winters.
I knew that's where you were going.
Over at Wood TV. Hell, if we're going to do this, we might as well get advice from the best.
Right, exactly.
And
you have at least been around TV shows and radio type thing. I don't even know how to run this board that you do. I'm completely in the dark. I just come on and talk, so I don't know anything about anything. So,
you know what? We're going to get off topic a little bit here. This is something I have not had a chance to discuss yet. I might as well make the official announcement on what's been going on with my other career and my other life. Which actually, what I should do, just to kind of lighten the mood a little bit, because I'm going to get a little bit serious here, is play the appropriate music for it. And that's not it. That's definitely not it. But I know that this is.
Yep.
Got to play the stripper music. There we go. Some major changes in my life in the last several weeks. Actually, I'm going to cut that music because I guess annoying. I am no longer in Battle Creek. I'm sure I really haven't heard anything. I'm sure that fault is being thrown my direction for some things, and I'm going to throw some fault at my former boss for some other things. And I still love my boss. I think he's a wonderful man. Him and his wife have been nothing but kind to me in a lot of respects. However, there's just certain people that you can't work for and get along with anymore. And when that happens, that's really sad. This is probably a bridge that's been burned completely and probably never going to get rebuilt. The short story is some issues came up involving one particular dancer that I was working with that didn't get resolved to my satisfaction in a timely enough fashion. This should have been handled back in February. It wasn't. It grew, it grew, it grew, and it finally exploded at the end of March. And at that point, I walked out. That was my intention anyway, was quitting. It was no longer fun. And if I'm not going to have a boss that backs me up, then there's no point in me being there. And there were some other issues that had happened before that. And that's actually something that I'm going to be addressing over the internet in written form. And once that happens, I'm going to talk about it on the podcast. Not on the radio show, but on the podcast. I think we're still planning on doing two separate shows, correct?
Yeah, why not?
And the radio show we're also going to put on our podcast.
Right, I mean, because if we, anybody wants, I don't know if they'll let us mention our podcast. He said he didn't care if we kept doing it, so it's not a big deal. But
yeah, that's very true. Yeah, so I guess that's another thing that we need to find out is can we mention the other podcasts? Yeah, there's some things that I need to publicly address, and right now is not the forum for it. I'm going to do that on in written form on a website that I own. It's actually the club's website. And I might as well let the cat out of the bag now. For a few days, my official statement's going to be up. Then that's going down, and anybody who clicks on the club site is going to get automatically redirected to my private party business that I own with my best friend. And legally, I can do it. I own the website. It's paid for out of my business checking account that's in my name and my name alone. The site's registered in my name, and I'm paying for it, and I'm not, and I've never been reimbursed for it. So, since I've got 6 more months on that contract for that website.
Wait a minute, you did the club's official site, and they didn't pay you back for it?
Correct.
Okay. So, I guess you feel free to write whatever you want.
Yep.
Pretty much.
The only thing that stops me is what we talked about outside of the WPRR offices when we were discussing First Amendment issues. And I guess that's something that we can kind of tie into. Apparently, you had another confrontation on the golf course yesterday. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll let you, so you were this right in the middle of this.
This is the second time in, how long was it? A couple weeks?
A week, maybe two.
Maybe two at the most. Probably a week, 10 days. I go to the, I'm playing golf yesterday with my friend Brian, okay? And we get to the clubhouse and there's a guy that Brian knows. Hey, how you doing, Ned? He introduces me to the guy, and I can't even remember his name. But anyway, less than 2 minutes into this conversation, they got to talking. Somehow they got on the topic of the president. And this guy says, I can't stand that effing N-word. I'm not even going to say what he said because I don't even like saying the word, even what somebody else said.
Mm-hmm.
He called the president an effing N-word, and I lost it, because this is the second time in about 10 days that this has happened.
Uh-huh.
First time I met a guy, literally less than 2 minutes into the conversation, he says that in front of me.
Second time on a golf course, yes. Second time you meet a guy, and in under 2 minutes, he's already using the N-word.
Yeah.
Use the F-bomb, then the N-word.
Yes. He called him a fucking N-word.
Yes.
And I couldn't take it anymore. I kind of lost it for a second.
So you did what?
I got in his face and I said, do you, something to the effect that, seriously, you just met me, you're going to use that word right in front of my face? Something to that effect. I don't remember exactly what I said.
What did he say?
And I was right in his face. And he kind of, he kind of stood there and looked at me and didn't really say anything.
He's probably dumbfounded. He probably thought that you were going to agree with him.
I think he was probably surprised that I didn't agree. You're right, what you said. And for those who don't know, a golf course might as well be the Republican National Committee, for those of you who don't know.
Yeah, it's beginning to sound like it more and more.
And eventually I backed away from him, and I said, you know, you should go join Sean Hannity's show. And he took it as a compliment. He had this little smirk on his face. And as I told you, I almost got in the first fight since I was 12 years old. First actual physical altercation.
Wow.
And as I told you last night, if he had started something, the game was on.
If he started it, you were going to finish it.
Mm-hmm. And this guy was about, I'd say he's about 35, mm-hmm. roughly. About 5'7 and 150 pounds, soaking wet.
Wow.
So.
What did your buddy say?
He didn't really say anything.
Because he was mutual friends with this guy, right?
He was a friend of this guy. And afterwards, we didn't play golf with him. We just happened to see him in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
And when we were on the course, excuse he me. Said, I thought that some, he said, that wasn't right for him to say. And he, my friend, come to find out, you have friends, different friends, that different good, better friends than other people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a guy who I just basically just play golf with, know through other people.
Yeah.
And so we got to talk, and it turns out he's on our side. So
really?
He was not pleased with it either. Afterwards, you know, he didn't really say anything at the time, but.
Most people don't like confrontation.
No, he said, you know, I would have said something, but you were doing fine or something like that.
Hey, you had it handled is what he was basically telling you.
But what kind of person says that to right in front of a person they just met? Can you imagine what he says in private or how he thinks? It reminds me of one time I went to the Blue Chip Casino. In Michigan City.
And we just talked about this on the podcast last week, too.
I did, but it was worth repeating. This was back when there were certain boarding times. You couldn't just walk in on the boat, you know. It was like every 10 minutes you had to go in or something.
Oh, okay.
So I'm kind of standing in line. And this older lady, probably 70, in her 70s, says, yeah, don't come here on the weekends because all the blacks from Chicago come in. We call it the African Queen. And this is, like I said, I'm just standing in line. Don't know her from Adam. It's 2 minutes later, I'm like, I still remember. This is 8-9 years ago now. But I guess you can't, you're never going to change the way some people think, I guess.
I know. And there's several points to this that we can talk about. I know we brought it up on the last podcast. You said that you had hoped that the election of President Obama would help race relations.
Mm-hmm.
And quite clearly it hasn't.
No. In fact, my opinion, it's gone backwards. There are a large number of people in this country who still won't accept and can't stand the fact that a black man is president. They cannot stand it.
And there's people that, I swear to God, if I didn't know any better, if they could, they would be wanting to go back to separate drinking fountains.
Oh, sure.
Separate restaurants, separate buses, everything.
Yep.
They would go back to segregation if they could.
I completely agree with you.
And how ironic is it that we're talking about this topic? You know what opened this week, correct? Up in Big Rapids at Ferris State University. Yeah. A brand new museum has opened at Ferris. It's in the basement of the library.
It's made national news.
And it has made national news because of the subject matter of this museum.
Isn't it called the Jim Crow Museum?
I don't know if that's the official name of it.
Something like that. But you know
it's
what?
It's basically all memorabilia from segregation.
Yeah. You know what, though? Some people don't like it because it's such a racist thing, but I think it's a good thing. So people know what actually happened, and that's what you really want to go back to?
It's like with the Holocaust, too.
Yeah.
We should never forget where we came from Because if we do, we're bound to go back right. to it.
And the Holocaust wasn't that long ago.
No.
And Jim Crow laws were even...
More recent.
You're right. I mean, yeah. The Voting Rights Act wasn't even signed until what year was it? 62, I think?
Yeah, you got to remember. It's only been 1945 that U.S. troops, Allied troops, invaded Germany and drove the Nazis out.
I mean, we still have Holocaust survivors. This is how recent ago it was. It wasn't like ancient history.
No.
And six million people were exterminated.
And, yeah, gassed, burned alive.
Medical experiments done on them.
Shot, just lined up, dig a trench, line them up, shoot them. Yep. Let them fall in the trench, bulldoze it over.
This even happened in the 90s in Bosnia, for heaven's sakes.
I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that real quick, too. There are artifacts at Holocaust museums, lampshades made out of the skin of Jews.
The entrance.
That is how horrific the Nazi regime was.
The entrance to the Auschwitz camp is still standing. The ovens are still there. You know, it's just... Talk about... You know, on that subject, you know what happened 20 years ago this week?
What?
Rodney King. He was interviewed...
That's been 20 years?
20 years ago. 1992. Wow. Actually, Al Sharpton interviewed
that
Rodney
King. That
doesn't
seem like that long ago.
20 years ago.
Been 20 years since the... L.A. police beat Rodney King, which led to the Los Angeles riots after the police officers were found not guilty. And that led to...
You know what's going to... You know why this
some
is...
Some horrific riot.
You know why...
The footage that I remember is the truck driver getting pulled out, getting beat up, and the kid throwing the brick at his
throwing
head.
A piece of concrete at him, yeah, or a brick. Hit him right in the head. Yeah.
And, yeah.
You know, this goes on to a different thing, too, and we've talked about it on podcasts before. If George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin's killer, gets off, you know what's going to happen, right? It could be the same thing all over again. And this goes back to our... Is race relations any better? No, they aren't. They're not at all.
And speaking of Trayvon Martin, there was a story on ABC News on the way over to your place, and we talked about it at the studios there at WPRR. ABC News reporting that the judge in the Trayvon Martin and the George Zimmerman case is contemplating either raising or revoking Zimmerman's bail because, according to Zimmerman's attorney, his website has raised $200,000 for the defense fund for George Zimmerman.
Doesn't this go to the point, too? How often? He's charged with murder. It's second-degree murder. That's just what he's charged with, but it's still murder.
Uh-huh.
How often does a guy charged with murder get bail?
And not only that, where's the fundraiser for Trayvon Martin's family?
Good point. Excellent point.
I'm not hearing anything about that in the media.
And we talked about this Tuesday. The city council of Sanford, Florida gave their police chief a no-confidence vote, right? So after that, he puts in his resignation. The city council refuses his resignation. First of all,
on a 3-2 vote.
How do you vote no contest by a majority? Then won't accept his resignation by a majority. And lastly, how is the guy trying to quit his job and you say, no, you can't quit? How does that work?
You know, this just popped in my head, and I think this might be what they're thinking. And I'm playing armchair quarterback here. with politics. I think that if the Sanford, Florida City Council accepted his resignation, that they've seen it as an admission of guilt that the chief did something wrong.
Exactly.
Well, you know what? He did do something wrong.
He obviously did something wrong because he was the guy who said there will be no arrest in this case. And then 40-some days later, guess what? There was an arrest.
You know, and obviously he's done something wrong. You gave him a vote of no confidence. Again, on a 3-2 margin.
Right.
So obviously he's done something wrong. I mean, why the flip-flopping? Like I said, I got a feeling probably the city attorney said, oh, you just admitted guilt to something. You need to back off of this or something to that effect. That's the only explanation that makes any kind of sense.
Right.
And here's the other thing, too, in talking about, you know, the guy at the golf course, too. It's the race relations issue, but it's also a free speech issue, too. Because you know that because we have certain conservative friends that do listen to this podcast, and you know they're saying, oh, well, Darren and Jim, they just want to, you know, restrict free speech. Oh, you know.
No.
No.
He has the right to say that. He just better learn not to say it in front of me while I'm there.
I am probably the biggest proponent of the First Amendment. I'm a journalist at heart. Still, to this day, there's still a little bit of a fire that burns inside of me for news. And I'll admit it. But when it comes to First Amendment, there's the other side of that same coin. That there are consequences for your free speech. For example,
you can't say fire in a crowded theater.
Yeah, that was a Supreme Court decision back in the 1800s. And they, because I forget how the court case came about, but essentially the Supreme Court said that there's no such thing as absolute free speech. You cannot yell fire in a crowded theater when there is indeed no fire.
You know what's funny? In women's rape prevention classes. You know what they teach them?
Yell fire.
Yell fire.
Don't yell rape.
Don't yell rape. People don't respond to rape. Yell fire and they come running.
But they respond to fire.
Right.
And that's a shame.
That's just a sad state of human.
Yeah, that's a shame that our society has come to that point.
But
like I said, you have the right to say whatever you want to. You have the right to be ignorant. You know, there's people on the left that bitch and moan and complain about the right of the Ku Klux Klan to march in cities. Mm-hmm. Am I a fan of the Klan? No. By the way, this guy that you met on the golf course, were his sheets at the laundry, or what the hell was the story there?
I can just imagine... This guy in private.
What chapter of the Klan does he belong to? That's what I'd like to know.
Quickly, I'm responding to my post. What's the call signs in WPRR? Dave Saucier is inquiring about it.
The dial?
Yeah.
It's 1680 AM, 95.3
FM. 95.3
FM. Now, Dave's up in Howard City. He's going to get the AM signal before he gets the FM signal. I'm going to tell you that right now.
But the Big D and I are going to have a radio show, I posted. Dave Saucier likes this, and David said, talk radio, I take it. How can we find it? So there we go.
That's good. Starting to get the fan base already. This is going to be good. I hate the Ku Klux Klan as much as anybody, but you know what? They have a legal right under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution to spew their hate.
And you know who else does? Supreme Court ruled recently? Westboro Baptist Church.
Yep.
These are the guys who go to soldiers' funerals and hold up signs that say, thank God for dead soldiers and God hates fags.
Yeah.
Yeah, real Christian-like, aren't they?
Yep. And you know what? I hate them, too. Personally, would I like to see them go away? Absolutely. Do they have the right to say what they do? Unfortunately, yes, they do. But you know what? There's always consequences to speech. There always has been. Yep. There always will be. Another example. You have every right to go up to your boss and say, I hate you. You suck. You don't know what you're doing as a boss. You have every right to tell your boss that. As a consequence, your boss has every right to say, you're fired. Go find another job.
Yep.
Or, like we talked about Tuesday, Ted Nugent has the right to go in front of the NRA and say, if Obama's reelected, I'm either going to be in jail or dead. He has the right to say that. He also has the right to suffer the consequences of it, mm-hmm. which so far have been getting kicked off of the Styx REO Speedwagon tour that he was on.
And
so he just cost, to quote my former boss in Battle Creek, yeah, the Nuge just cost himself some money. That wasn't very smart. Yep. So, yeah, Nugent has the right to do it. He also has the right to suffer the consequences of it.
It's like I like to say, of course, you're entitled to your own opinion, even if you're wrong.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. Or what was it when Jesse Ventura used to work for the WWF? Now WWE. He got into a little bit of banter with Vince McMahon, and Vince says, "Well, Jesse, you see things from a different point of view," and Jesse responds, "Exactly. I see things from the right point of view." This is like, oh my God, that was way too funny.
That's one of my favorite politicians, Jesse Ventura.
Jesse Ventura.
I've said it many times on here. Like you and I and Dave were talking about. I don't like everything he does. He's more of a libertarian on some things, but his social
what
issues.
What the hell? I gotta read this here. We're looking at the Nuge here. Yeah, they need to change that event because Nuge ain't on it no more.
Nuge.
The whack master. Yeah, because he's whacked in the head.
How come all the draft dodgers are all of a sudden the chicken hawks?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. This is from ranchosantamargarita.patch.com. This is an article. Ted Nugent doesn't go quietly into the night. The conservative 70s-era rocker played to a sold-out crowd at the Coach House Thursday. Yeah, he had plenty to say. The Motor City Man isn't about soft messages. Ted Nugent, the self-proclaimed Great White Buffalo, performed a flawless show Thursday night with his ear-piercing band, the Nigerian Rebels, to a sold-out crowd at the Coach House, which is in San Juan Capistrano, California.
What did you say the name of the band was? Something about Nigeria?
The Nigerian Rebels.
Oh, my. The Great White Whatever with the Nigerian Rebels.
A mountain of stacked Bad Cat and Eddie Van Halen 5150 signature amplifiers were creatively decorated with two lifelike AR-15 assault rifles that reassured the audience of Second Amendment advocates that this was indeed a Ted Nugent show. Hey, Coach House, I just go to work every day and piss off people without even trying, screamed Nugent halfway into the song Doctor, the second of his set. Despite the recent controversy regarding Nugent's comment at the National Rifle Association Convention in St. Louis, where he compared the Obama administration to coyotes that needed to be shot and encouraged voters to chop the heads off Democrats in November. The crowd seemed to be there for only one reason, to hear Nugent's shattering sound and to see his rebel annex.
And what the coyote thing was, I think he said, if a coyote comes in your house, don't blame the coyote. Blame yourself for not killing it. Something very similar to that, if it wasn't word for word. So,
let's see. Nugent also had a contract. Listen to this. Before the concert, rumors circulated amongst the Nugent fans that there would be a group of protesters outside the show. And Coach House waitress Hannah Kunick said the venue had been receiving calls all week with people complaining about Nugent performing. The Coach House even supplied extra bouncers who were armed at Nugent's request because he was so upset to hear people complaining. Nugent also had a contract forbidding the sales of glass beer bottles because of fears they might be thrown at the stage during the performance. Despite expectations of protesters, there were no picket signs, just good old-fashioned rock and roll. Nugent did mention there may be some Secret Service agents in the audience and ridiculed them for failing to identify themselves when Nugent asked. Yeah, arrogant little prick. Nugent's signature sound comes from the arena rock era of Van Halen, Boston, Styx, Aerosmith, and Cheap Trick, said longtime fan Ram Snorer. I saw Nugent play at the Silver Dome in Detroit, Michigan in 1977, Snorer said. Ted stole the show that night, even though he was opening up for Aerosmith and Robin Trower, who was supposed to be the next Jimi Hendrix. Nugent called Trower out to a jam out during his performance. Nugent filtered through an arsenal of guitars during the evening's performance, including an American flag Gibson Les Paul and a black 1961 hollow body Les Paul. He played a 14-song set that included his most acclaimed song, Cat Scratch Fever. Nugent's plans to play rock and roll all summer long and tour the U.S. His goal? Kill shit and send some of the best venison jerky to troops in Iraq. The tour continues at the Edgewater Casino in Laughlin, Nevada, before going to Tucson, Arizona for the Pima County Fair. This is how worried Nugent is. They had extra security because there were threats at the venue. Yeah. He had the security armed. He also put in his contract no glass beer bottles. He's real brave, isn't he? Yeah, let's send him hunting against one of those, against some deer or something, and have the deer have a gun. Let's see how well he is when he's got some opposition there, fucking prick.
I know we're a couple of bleeding heart liberals, but like I told you before, killing animals for sport just doesn't interest me.
Here we go. This is off of Huffington Post. You gonna take that? Oh, I'm gonna let Huffington Post lead this load up here. This is by Christian Televiso of Huffington Post. After catching the Secret Service's attention with some inflammatory remarks about President Barack Obama, Ted Nugent has been removed from a concert lineup at a prominent military base. Fort Knox's June 23rd concert was originally scheduled to have Nugent as the headliner. On Tuesday, Nugent said that he would be dead or in jail by this time next year if President Barack Obama is reelected. 48 hours later, changes to the concert lineup were in the works. After learning of opening act Ted Nugent's recent public comments about the President of the United States, Fort Knox leadership decided to cancel his performance on the installation, said a post on the official Fort Knox, Kentucky Facebook page Thursday. REO Speedwagon and Styx remain lead acts. The U.S. Army Post added the customers wanting a refund may request one by calling Ticketmaster. Oh, my God. Ugh. Here's a picture of the day for you. This was from October 30th of 2010. Ted Nugent, look who he's got his arm around.
That's not a surprise.
Sarah Palin.
Maybe they can go kill some caribou together.
Yeah, maybe.
Shoot some wolves from helicopters or something.
Actually, you know what? Since you just mentioned helicopters, you just reminded me of something here. We were talking about the atrocities of the Holocaust,
mm-hmm.
and you had mentioned Bosnia
mm-hmm.
in the 90s, that they were doing a lot of ethnic cleansing there.
Mm-hmm.
I actually just met a photographer, maybe, I first met him maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. He actually photographed a friend of mine Monday night. I was security for her. She was having some photography work done. Actually, it was the gal that does the voiceover for this podcast. And his name is Fernando. I forget what his last name is. Back in the 90s, he was a photojournalist who was employed by the United Nations and sent to Bosnia-Herzegovina, I think it was during and just after the Milosevic regime was ousted. And one of the things that he was, and he showed us some pictures. He shows pictures of a UN SWAT team dressed in black with hoods over their heads with big machine guns. One of his assignments was that he would go up in a helicopter and photograph minefields for the UN so that they could clear the mines out.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things that he also photographed from the helicopter weren't just the minefields, but also, for lack of a better word, killing fields,
mm-hmm.
where they would dig a trench and dispose of
a mass grave. And then you know what they did after the mass grave? They planted trees over it.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be easily found.
Yeah. Well, it's easily found from the air, and he had the photographic evidence of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a photojournalist for the United Nations back then.
Are we going to have her record the start to the radio show, too?
If I can find her. Otherwise, since I'm going to be seeing my best friend tomorrow, I've been wanting her to do it, too.
Yeah.
And my friend has a phenomenal voice, too. She's not just drop-dead gorgeous. She's got a great voice, too. And she can do anything. I'm thoroughly convinced that this woman can pretty much, if you said, hey, you want to try skydiving? She'd do it, and she'd do it well. She's been wanting to do mixed martial arts. I think if she did, she'd be great at it. She did my tattoo. Is there anything that she can't do? That's what I want to know. Is there one thing that she cannot do?
Ever try to change some bigots' minds? Could you do that?
There you go. There you go. Nobody could. Nobody could. I don't think God himself could.
That's as mad as I've been in a long time. I just, when he said that, this little smirk on this little guy's face, I just.
Yeah, that's just.
I told you I lost.
That's just too much. I mean, it's stupid. Oh, man. Oh, wait a minute. When did Nuge say all that shit about? That was
not long ago.
Yes, the Midwest Rock and Roll Express tour that he was on. Now, it looks like maybe Nugent's only off of the Fort Knox, Kentucky show. I got to do some more research on this.
Yeah.
Because apparently he's off the Fort Knox show. That's confirmed. Fort Knox confirmed that already. But there's an April 19th article on in a Billboard magazine. That looks like he's going to continue. Looks like he's going to continue touring with them, but I thought he was yanked off the tour.
He ought to be.
He should be, but apparently it doesn't look like he is. That according to a according to Billboard magazine. And it looks like Adele is number one on the adult contemporary charts for the week.
Excuse
actually,
my ignorance of the current pop culture, but isn't Adele from British?
Yes. Okay. Yes, she is.
But she's only like, what, 21?
She's only in her 20s.
Yeah, 21, 22. Or...
Number one song for the week is Somebody That I Used to Know by Gotye featuring Kimbra.
Does Adele sing Rolling in the Deep?
Yes, she does.
I like that song. That's a good tune.
Number two song is We Are Young by Fun featuring Janelle Monáe. Fun was just in town.
Yeah, Winners actually posted about that. Did you see that?
Yeah, they were just in town.
Yeah, just like a week ago. Maybe over, but yeah.
And actually, it's funny. The record label for Fun is they record under Fueled by Ramen, which is also the record label for Paramore, Cobra Starship, Gym Class Heroes, and a whole bunch of others. And I actually got to start making some money because I might be going to England in August to go see Paramore.
Speaking of England, the Summer Olympics this year are in England.
In yes. London.
My sister's best friend, niece, is on the Team Canada soccer team playing in London, and they're going.
Really?
They're going this summer. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm not sure how she can play for Canada since she was born in Green Bay, but. You know, it's just
maybe
like
she's going to school there.
Chris
I don't know.
Came and played for Team Canada or Team Germany, but. Yeah. But yeah, she's. Her name's, what's her first name?
Real quickly, the number three song on the charts is Payphone by Maroon 5 featuring Wiz Khalifa. It debuted at number three.
Lauren Sesselman is her name. I couldn't think of her first name.
Ah.
But she's a professional soccer player and a model. And she's playing in Canada and... in the Olympics, and I think my mom and sister are going to London to watch, actually.
No kidding.
Yeah. There was talk of it anyway. I'm not sure if they're going exactly or not, but.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you get to see somebody play in the Olympics, you know, that you know?
Yeah, definitely. And it's kind of funny you mentioned the Olympics. I was just, because I know that we have some, a few wrestling fans that listen to this, and I love talking pro wrestling here. It's actually funny that I was just... Jim's rejoining us. That was just a quick phone call that he had to take. Talking about the Olympics, I was just... rewatching in the last couple of weeks the DVD, The Triumph and Tragedy of World Class Championship Wrestling. And basically the story is about mainly the Von Erich family, the Von Erich wrestling family.
Not familiar with them, to be honest.
Okay. They were wildly popular in Texas in the 70s and 80s. The father was originally a wrestler in the 50s. Fritz von Erich. Under his real name, he went to school, Southern Methodist, and was supposed to go to the Olympics that year in 52. I think it was in Helsinki. Excuse me.
Actually, yeah. I don't know why I know that, but I do know the 52. Because it was an episode of Pawn Stars.
There
was Olympic jacket, but yeah.
Yeah, he was supposed to go to the 52 Olympics for shot putting.
Okay.
Well, he had gotten married. You know, married his longtime sweetheart. Southern Methodist's policy at the time was if you were married, the school wouldn't pay for your trip to go to Helsinki. So he ended up not going to the Olympics that year. And had he had gone, he had thrown a shot put long enough that he would have won the gold medal.
Mm-hmm.
But because of SMU's policies, he couldn't go.
Or he had to pay his own way.
Or pay his own way, and he couldn't afford it. So he ended up not going. I think he transferred to another school eventually. Well, he had a bunch of sons growing up. His first son was accidentally electrocuted in 1959 at the age of 8 years old. And he had five other boys. David, who played basketball. Kevin, who was a college football standout. And the other main one was Kerry von Erich. Kerry was in college and was a championship level discus thrower. He actually made the Olympic team in 1980, was going to compete for the U.S. in the Olympics.
Right.
That was the year that the U.S. boycotted the Olympics.
Wait a minute. Because
it was in Russia.
No. Because 80 was... Oh, you're right. You're talking the Summer Olympics. Sorry.
Yeah.
This is back when they were in the same year.
Yeah.
I was thinking the 1980 Olympic team.
Yeah. The 80 Summer Olympics, U.S. boycotted. Because they were being held in Moscow, Russia.
Right, and the Russians threatened to boycott us first when they said, no, we're going to come back. We're going to show you how good we are in hockey, for example. And that was the Miracle on Ice.
Uh-huh.
And then we boycotted them in the Summer Olympics, yeah. You're
right. And then they ended up boycotting us in 84, didn't they? Because that was the Los Angeles Summer Olympics.
I don't think they did.
I thought they did.
We can look it up quick enough.
Yeah, I thought Russia boycotted us in 84. But, again, in 80, had the U.S. not boycotted the Olympics, Kerry von Erich had a discus throw that also would have placed him in medal standings and actually would have also won the gold. So two members of the family could have competed in the Olympics and could have won the gold medal and didn't because of one reason or another.
Wow. I didn't know this. You are more than right. 1984, the boycott involved 14 Eastern Bloc countries and allies led by the Soviet Union who initiated the boycott on May 8, 1984, joined by others including East Germany, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Cuba, Romania.
Probably Poland, too,
yeah.
I would imagine. I'm trying to remember China.
Wow, it seems like something we would remember, and I don't remember that.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a big, hairy deal back then.
14 Eastern Bloc countries, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And like I said, I thought this stuff didn't happen that long ago.
Mm-mm.
You know, the ethnic cleansing in Bosnia 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And World War II only ended less than 70 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, think of Yugoslavia back then, too. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Serbs and the Croats.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a great documentary on ESPN. Vladi Divac and, what's his name? The guy played for the Bulls from Split. Split Croatia. God, his name escapes me.
And he was from Croatia, too?
Yeah.
From the same era that Vladi was playing?
Yeah, gosh dang it.
I cannot think of his name. I know who
Tony Kukoc.
Yeah, Kukoc, yeah.
But there was a documentary about that, and when they were best of friends growing up, and when all this turmoil was going on, one was a Croat, one was a Serb, and they, you know, they were on the same national team, who was very good, almost as good as us, and that doesn't happen in basketball, especially. And it's a documentary about each of their perspectives, you know, how they thought of it. Well, anyway, because of this, it ruined their friendship through basically no fault of their own. But it's, and I forget the name of it, but it's a very good documentary.
Okay, apparently Nuge is okay, cool. Yeah, it looks like Nuge was only removed from the Fort Knox concert. It looks like he's still on the Midwest Rock and Roll Tour, which I think is bullshit.
Removed from the Fort Knox concert? Why there? They would probably love that shit down there.
They felt his comments were too controversial.
You think?
Yeah. Nuge. Prick. I've got a, that's okay. Oh my gosh. Some of the pictures that people find.
Hey, and just so you know, one of the texts I've got since we've started this is from Al.
Yeah.
We will definitely talk or play golf before then.
Awesome.
So. And he knows where the station
is. Uh-oh. We have to play this.
It's not Cat Scratch Fever.
No. Today can't be his birthday, can it? I guess it can be. Ooh. I got to double check it here. Today is Casey Kasem's 80th birthday.
Really?
The voice of American Top 40. The man who for many years was the voice of Shaggy on the Scooby-Doo cartoons.
That's right.
And the helped out with the Jerry Lewis telethon. Oh, I have to play. This is something Rick Beckett used to play on his radio show back in the day. There is an audio clip of Casey Kasem just having a meltdown.
Yes, I know. I was just going to say that. If that's on YouTube or something.
Oh yeah, can I play it?
Sure.
Let's do this here. This is Casey Kasem melting down over a long distance dedication about somebody's dead dog. Here we go.
We're up to our long distance dedication, and this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand, whether we have kids or pets or neither. It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio, and here's what he writes. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's come start again. From coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a fucking up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week. This is a last goddamn time I want somebody to use his fucking brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is that's up-tempo, and I got to talk about a fucking dog dying.
And Beckett used to play that all the time at KLQ and at GRD.
That's funny.
And Casey Kasem actually, many years ago, put out a request to the radio stations that were doing morning radio and literally was begging them, please, don't play that clip. And I think Casey is still doing a version of Top 40. You remember what his signature sign-off was, right? Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars. Yeah. Yep. He's from Detroit. You know that?
Speaking of meltdowns, oops. I got to play something. I don't know if you've seen it before.
Wow.
Let me see when this was.
Casey Kasem got a start at WJBK in Flint.
I'm not sure what year this was, but this this was when Bill O'Reilly was hosting Inside Edition.
Oh, wait a minute! Wait a minute! Have you I've seen that before. Oh my God! Yeah. I got to cue that up.
Play it.
I got to find it. It'll sound much better through the sound system. What is it? Was it listed under O'Reilly Meltdown?
I wrote O'Reilly Meltdown. Yeah. It's classic.
Oh my God. Yeah, this was when he was hosting Inside Edition and he had a meltdown. Bill O'Reilly freaks out on intern. Is that the one? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, we got it. Oh, and he hates that clip, too.
That's tomorrow. And that is it for us today. Okay, I don't know. Whatever it is, it's not right on a teleprompter. I don't know what that is. I've never seen that.
No, there it is. We are going to do Sting, yeah.
Okay, but... Okay. I can't read it. There's no words on it.
Okay.
Sure. There's no words there to play us out. What does that mean, to play us out?
It's Sting is going to do, it's a video, Sting video.
What okay. is...
For credits.
I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
All right, go.
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is a...
Again, 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today, and we will leave you with a... I can't do it. Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! I'll write it, and we'll do it live! Right. Fucking thing sucks!
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks again for watching. We'll leave you with Sting and a cut off his new album. Take it away.
And they cut off his audio, and they're still showing the video of him whipping his jacket off
fucking
and throwing
sucks.
And throwing things. Oh my God!
Oh,
Billow the Clown. Has there ever been a time that Olbermann's called Billow an asshole?
You know, I looked for it before, and he hasn't.
No. Since we or the manatee either. That sucks too. Oh my god. So yeah, interesting stuff here. Interesting stuff. But yeah. Real quickly, there was a protest going on today in Grand Rapids, outside of the Grand Rapids office of Senator Debbie Stabenow, that was put on by Americans. What is it?
Americans for Prosperity, the Koch brothers.
Which is basically the Koch brothers. Yeah. I should drive by there and see if there's anybody still
where
there.
Where is Senator Stabenow's office? Do you know?
It's over off of the East Beltline somewhere.
We should go to Amash's Grand Rapids office.
Occupy Amash is what needs to happen. That's a great idea. Actually, now that I come to think about it, that's not a bad idea.
What, the name of the show?
No, Occupy Amash.
I still like Southpaws.
I do like that. I think that's what we're going with.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But, yeah, there's, it's just unreal.
What the hell am I doing?
Oh, my God. Really? Sports Fever Friday at the Gentleman 131, where FSU colors Friday night get $2 off your cover.
What's that, a bar in Big Rapids or
something? That's the bikini club in Stanwood.
It's called the Gentleman 131?
The Gentleman 131.
That's right. I never asked you what the name of the place was.
Kickin' Country Saturday. Denim chaps, pigtails, plaid shirts, Daisy Dukes, hot chicks. Oh, God. Specials all weekend long. $1 UV shots, $2 badass bottles, $3 divas.
So bottom line, you still haven't interviewed there, right?
That's correct. Okay. Yeah, let's talk about that real quick. And then we got to wrap it up. No, I have not interviewed there. I was supposed to have an interview, and I told you I was supposed to interview on Wednesday.
Right.
Oh, we haven't talked about this because it's been since the last podcast. I went there. My interview was at 6 o'clock on Wednesday night. I got there at 6. The owners weren't there. 6:05, 6:10, 6:15, and the entertainment manager comes up to me and says, I just talked to the owners. They have to cancel the interview because an emergency came up. But I was told to give you a drink on the house. So for me, driving up to Stanwood, I get the interview canceled 15 minutes after it's supposed to start?
And you haven't talked to them since. Is that right? Well, you were there.
I was there last night, and I actually talked to one of the owners, introduced myself.
One of the guys who was supposed to interview you.
Yeah, very politely. I said, hey, I'm Darren Gibson. I was supposed to have an interview with you yesterday. And he kind of looked at me. I said, you guys canceled because there was an emergency. He's like, yeah. And he's like, well, we really don't have any open DJ positions. We're going to be doing some guest spots here and there, da-da-da-da-da. You know, okay, take your name and number, and we'll get back to you. Which I did. I'm out of professional courtesy. He's like, well, so-and-so's our house DJ, and he pointed the guy out to him. And it was the guy that was DJing that night. I'm usually not one to slam other strip club DJs, because most of them do a pretty good job. Not this guy. Terrible. I've seen worse. I've heard worse. But this guy's toward the bottom. Just saying. And like I said, I don't make a reputation out of slamming other DJs, but I am going to call it as I see it. I was going to use another euphemism, but that's probably not a good euphemism to use after we just went on a rail about speech. Ouch. But that's okay that they didn't interview me, because after I get done here, I'm on my way back down to Gun Lake. So I might as well tell you about my new gig. I am now officially a subcontractor. I am going to be providing DJs, including myself, to a brand new bikini bar that is opening up just south of Wayland.
Where is this in relation to the casino?
It is about 5.5-6 miles to the east and 1 mile south of the casino.
Okay, so exit 60, would it be?
61.
61's the casino exit.
Yep, Bradley exit.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay.
So you get off of exit 61 there at Bradley and go toward the casino, and you go past the casino.
Okay.
You hit a four-way stop right there.
Yep.
You go straight through on M-179 and continue about 5 miles. You'll hit another four-way stop at Patterson. And on the corner, there's a BP gas station that has a McDonald's attached to it. You turn and go south on Patterson and go 1 mile, and it's on the right-hand side.
Okay.
The name of the place is Daisy Mays. Right now, it's a sports bar. They are hoping to open as a bikini bar Wednesday. They are doing work inside, including some remodeling, including building me a brand new DJ booth, and I'm going to be providing DJs, again, including myself. Actually, let me get you a specific address here, because we are looking for dancers right now. Basically open tryouts all week next week. Well, the days that we're going to be open.
When is the place opening?
We're hoping to have everything all up and running Wednesday.
Next Wednesday?
Next
really?
Wednesday.
5 days from now.
Which is May 2nd. The address is 2688 South Patterson, Gun Lake, Michigan. And they do have a Facebook page. Well, I guess they did. I don't know if they've got one. I know they've got a MySpace page. They need to get an actual for real Facebook page. But right now the hours are going to be Sunday through Thursday. I believe Sunday from 8 until midnight or till 1 a.m. And Monday through Thursday, 3 p.m. until 2 a.m. They're still going to have live bands on Friday and Saturday for the time being. That may change. Actually, it is going to change. They're going to finish out the commitments for the live bands, and then we're going to start opening up on Friday and Saturdays. So, we're going to be... I'm going to be providing the DJs, so my company is now a subcontractor to them. So hopefully this means more money in my pocket, more than what I could ever imagine working in Battle Creek.
Good.
So, and I really want to get them pumped up. Again, it's Daisy Mays, 2688 South Patterson, Gun Lake. I believe that's technically Wayland, Michigan.
I was going to say, because I don't think there's actually an official Gun Lake address.
Their phone number is 269-792-9426. That's 269-792-9426. So we need dancers, if you have experience, even if you don't have experience dancing, as long as you have an attractive body, we can teach you how to dance. We're also planning on teaching, and that's something I got to mention to my friend too, is we're going to start doing pole dancing lessons. Apparently every other week there. And we're already planning a male review. So here we go again. I could be back working with male dancers yet again. Never say never in this business.
That is until you become a big radio star.
I hope it happens, but you know what?
We're not important enough to even have callers yet.
We're gonna take this one step at a time here. But don't be surprised if you start getting people asking for your autograph, Jim.
Yeah, right. We're not even important enough to take callers yet. So
yet. Well, but you know, maybe that's what we should do.
The other studio he was talking about. I thought he was gonna take us in there.
He's gonna show us that next week. All right. Oh my gosh! What in the hell? Conrad posting half-naked pics of men on his Facebook page. Conrad from B93.
Why?
Little eye candy for the ladies. Oh. Yeah. No thanks. Oh, but we're just about 3 o'clock, and I know you have to go. I have to go because I got to go back down to Gun Lake.
How long have we been on? Just out of curiosity.
Hour and a half. So, this was just going to be an announcement about the new show. So, tell you what.
Maybe on a tangent would be a better.
Maybe
for
it would.
For the podcast, at least.
Yeah. Tell you what, it's Friday.
That's
guess
right.
Guess who we can play?
Yeah.
And remember, I only do it on Fridays, but it's very important. Do not drink and drive. Don't do it. Don't be an idiot. Please, I beg of you.
The late, great Rick Beckett asking you, please don't drink and drive. I still miss Rick to this very day. I love the man. And
he was the best.
He was definitely the very best.
Yep.
At least he was in this town. So, make sure you hit us up, WPRR Radio, AM 1680, FM 95.3. As soon as we get an actual date of our first show, we will let you know that on our Facebook pages. We'll also do up a quick little podcast to let everybody know.
And also, if you have the iPhone, and I'm sure it's probably on others too, there's a free app called TuneIn Radio that you can download the WPRR on your phone. Well, you don't actually download the station itself, but it gives you all the local stations. You can turn into anyone locally in WPRR's on there, both on the AM and the FM dial.
And you can also find WPRR on the internet going to publicrealityradio.org.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually listen off of
right
off of there
the streams
as well.
Of live, yeah.
You can listen to the live stream. They also have the mobile apps on here as well. You can download the app for the iPhone and for the Android.
Yep.
A listing of the programs, which ours will be out there very soon.
Can't wait to see it.
Blog about WPRR, the staff and the board. Again, major, major thank yous to Dave Fletcher, the program director, WPRR, for allowing us this opportunity. Major thanks to Bob Goodrich for keeping the station on the air.
Yep, I was just going to say, right before you said that, I said, we got to give a big shout out to Dave Fletcher for giving us this opportunity. Because, and to Darren Gibson, for that matter, because I wouldn't have even thought about that. He went ahead and took the bull by the horns and started this whole thing. It took a little while to actually get a meeting, but it happened, and in a couple of weeks, You'll be listening to us on the radio.
And I can't do this podcast without Jim. I just can't. I can't do it without
Jim. It's funny how the whole thing started. First, you just started it by yourself, and we were Facebook friends. And I remember I said something to you like, Darren, keep speaking the truth. And then you said something back. And I don't know if I suggested it or you did.
I think you did.
Let's get together and do one and see what happens.
And then one turned into at least 30 now, at least 35.
When did I join? Do you remember?
It was either episode 19 or 20.
But in terms of, what, like a year and a half ago, maybe? Year ago? 15 months? I don't even remember.
It's, I think, a year and a half. Excuse me, I am just, I don't know why I'm yawning. I shouldn't be. Episode 19 was added on October 16th of 2010.
Yeah, so a little over a year and a half, or right around a year and a half, yeah.
So I think episode 19 was where you first came on as a guest, and then we started doing it as on-air co-host, starting with episode 20, and that was downloaded on October 28th, according to iTunes.
Okay.
Which, by the way, you can always find our podcast and find our shows by going to iTunes and searching for the Big D Progressive Podcast. You can also find us at the Podomatic website at thebigdprogressivepodcast.podomatic.com. You can also do a search for us on Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com. Search there for the Big D and G Bone Show. You can also look for us at SoundCloud, the Big D and G Bone Show. So, plenty of ways you can find us all over the internet. And now you can find us on the radio, too, starting in a couple weeks.
Do you know if WPRR archives their broadcasts or no?
I don't know. I would imagine they probably do.
Somewhere they probably do.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out a way to
and that might
record
be a,
the shows.
And that might be a good question for Dave Fletcher, too.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're going to ramp it up. Jim's going to go, so do I. I'm Darren Gibson, the Big D.
And Jim Gruner, G-Bone.
And we will talk to you again very soon. Have a great weekend, everybody.
All right.
Thank you for listening to the Big D and G-Bone Show. This program is an opinion piece protected by the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution and is copyrighted by Big D Entertainment. All rights reserved.